Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Hello, thank you for listening to this episode of the Finding Your Village podcast. My name's Amanda Gorman, and I'm your host. My goal for this show is to make the early days of parenting more connected, and the focus of this show is birth, postpartum, and parent mental health. In today's episode, we are discussing natural, holistic postpartum support. Our guest is Dr. Christy Matusiak, who is a holistically driven chiropractic physician practicing in Wilmette, Illinois. She is writing a book that's going to be published this summer, and that is for the newly postpartum mother who might be struggling with finding herself and gaining the mental clarity to be present for her new family. We are going to be talking about natural ways to support your health during the fourth trimester, hormones, and other postpartum self-care practices. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, Christy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for talking to me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we are talking about holistic postpartum support. And I think that you are the perfect person to talk about this, not only because of your profession, but you are literally in the midst of writing the book on how to do this. So for listeners, will you please just give them a quick background on what you do and how you got into this work?
Absolutely. So I'm Christy Matusiak. I'm a holistic chiropractic physician in Wilmette, Illinois. So my focus with my work is I see a ton of women, a lot of women postpartum, and my goal professionally, and then of course, I also have three boys of my own. So you said I'm a great person to talk about this because I do it as a profession. I'm writing a book on it and I've lived it for the last 10 years. At this point in our lives, you know, we just all need support for what we're going through because there is no cookie cutter. Everybody's going through it in a different way, especially now with COVID. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
And essentially, so like my background is I do a lot of muscle testing. I do a lot of work from a chiropractic standpoint, but then I also just look at the big picture to support women where they are and what they need in their journey, you know, whether it's nutritional supplementation or homeopathy or emotional support. And we all need to come at that from a sensitive perspective, knowing that everyone's in a different place. And so that's kind of what I do and my background. How I got into chiropractic, if you want to hear a fun story.
Yeah.
Is, I don't know, Amanda, if you believe in fate or anything along those lines. So when I was in my undergraduate program, my majors were biology and psychology. And so back then, you know, I'm kind of old now, but back then people, mind-body medicine wasn't a thing. And they were like, why would you put biology and psychology together? And I was like, well, just because it makes sense. I don't know. So fast forward a few years, I was working at Abbott Laboratories and I was asked in an interview, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I said, well, honestly, in 5 years, I'd really love to see myself in like a more patient-centered place where I'm having a more impact on people and even like preventing disease and problems so that people wouldn't even need medications at some point. And then I realized I was interviewing at a pharmaceutical company in the specific pharmaceutical division. So I didn't get the job.
Imagine that.
Right. I can't imagine why. But it was after that moment that I was like, okay, I'm clearly not in the right place. And then fate kind of took over. I met a chiropractor who did the kind of work that I do now. And he kind of showed me the way and opened up doors I didn't know existed at that time. And so now fast forward 10 years or more, here I am.
I love that. That's a cool story. And I love what you said about mind-body connection and how that's kind of like a new thing. And it really is, but it's so hysterical when I realize that I live for at least 30 years of my life being like this thing, this big ball on, that sits on top of my neck. So it's like connected to the rest of me. You mean they're like talk to each other?
Yes. And a friend of mine, we constantly talk about this all the time that, you know, what we think, how we behave, all these subconscious stuff that we've downloaded as kids that now plague us as adults, that's all still in our cells. It's in our physiology. Okay. And so it manifests as physical conditions and vice versa. So it's a two-way street as far as the emotions and the physical are concerned.
It really is. And that is very much a new concept to lots of people. But I'm hoping that by the time your boys and my little ones grow up, that that will be more of the norm and people won't balk at the idea of putting biology and psychology together.
Right. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, thanks for sharing your background and that story. So let's get into the topic of natural holistic postpartum support. And first of all, I have a quick question based on what you do. I have a very good understanding of chiropractic care, and I'm going to go ahead and assume that a lot of listeners understand what chiropractic care is and what chiropractors do. But can you tell me what muscle testing is?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So there's a system I use called applied kinesiology. So in fancy terms, that means we apply the study of movement to what I'm doing. Now, the man who came up with the system, his name was George Goodhart. He was a chiropractor in 1964, made the connection between muscles moving bones, right? And so chiropractically speaking, we're all looking at alignment. But muscles are in charge of how the alignment stays either in place or out of place. And every muscle in the body tends to be related to a different organ system. So this was his work that he slowly discovered over a period of years. So like, for instance, certain muscles are related to lung function. Other muscles might be related to adrenals or hormones or what have you. And so when I go through and assess someone's structure, I'm also at the same time evaluating them for organ system dysfunction, not necessarily dysfunction you'd see on blood work. Oh my goodness, you have liver failure. That's not in my realm of what I can help support at this point. But I can help support you. You know, if you're not in this ideal optimal range of your liver enzymes and whatnot, that could be a problem in 10, 15 years. Why don't we correct that now before it becomes an issue? So through some of that work, we can actually find things that are hidden before they become an issue. So I'm then therefore connecting the muscles, the organ systems, the emotions, and the structure all together in one little package.
Very cool. Thank you. That was a great.
Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. That was a great explanation. Thanks for starting there. So let's talk about postpartum support and first off, priorities.
Yes. So I don't know about you, but in my experience personally and in people that I see in the office, women, we tend to have this like sacrificial lamb mentality after we have kids. Like, okay, our child comes into world, suddenly I don't matter. Nothing else in my world matters. This little human is all that exists. And we tend to mix up our priorities, I think, a little bit. Now, not to say that that little person isn't important. Of course, they're your whole world. And at the same time, we're still humans. We still have needs. And we still might have passions and drives and things that we want to accomplish. And it's okay to still have those things while still raising a family. And it's also okay to be a stay-at-home parent and embrace and love and support that life. For me, when I had my first son 10 years ago, before I had him, I was like, I'm never going to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm too passionate about what I do. You know, people who stay at home, you know, don't really get it. And then as soon as he was born, I was like, nope, totally see the draw of that life of like not doing anything other than staying home with him. Now, everyone's different as far as what they can handle and what they can't. So for me, I did end up needing to find a balance. But I will never work full time. It's just not going to be my thing at this point. But as far as the priorities are concerned, I still truly, truly believe that we as women, we as mothers, we need to put ourselves first. Because if we don't put ourselves first and our cup's not full, we have nothing left to give our families. And then, you know, generally speaking, I think we end up having these priorities kind of backwards. We put our child first, and then maybe somewhere down the line, we think of ourselves, and then maybe somewhere down the line, if at all, we think of our relationship and how to support that. Whereas it really needs to be in reverse. We think of ourselves, then we put, you know, our spouse or our partner, because if you can't cultivate that relationship, a lot's going to fall apart. Right. And then your child, you know, they're generally okay. If their basic needs are covered, they're fed, they're dried, they're taken care of, they're loved, they're supported, you know, notwithstanding like, you know, neglect and abuse. And of course, any of those things, like, that's not what I'm talking about here. But just putting it in perspective of just having a healthy level of respect for yourself and your family dynamic to put those systems in place so that you can be supported and not be a mess when you're trying to take care of your growing baby.
I love that. Yeah, I completely agree. It's the, you know, mom is a synonym with martyr. I've talked to a lot of guests about that. And it's not a surprise that a lot of moms get these priorities mixed up, because that is a lot of the cultural conditioning in this country, in the US in particular, that we have been accustomed to, where when you're pregnant, the questions are like, how are you? Oh, you're glowing. You know, it's all about you, the pregnant person, the birthing person. And then the baby's here and it's like, how's the baby? Do you have a good baby? Is the baby sleeping? It all turns into questions about the baby. And yeah, I think that definitely impacts it. So I'm glad that you and honestly, most of the guests that I've had on this show have that mindset of like, fill your cup first so that you have some to pour into everybody else. So,
yeah, just like you said, after you have the baby, you walk in a room and nobody even says hello to you anymore. And I'm guilty of it too, even though I know better. Like a friend of mine has a baby and I go, oh, the baby. Oh, wait, hi. Hi to you too. I'm sorry. How are you doing? And it's just, it's wired in our cells somehow. Yeah. And I'd love it if that story changed.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it is changing one book at a time, one podcast at a time, one conversation at a time. All right. So then let's talk about what people can do to implement this support today.
So I have the 7 best doctors that we can all implement on a regular basis. And while they are simple, they may not be easy in every situation. But they are very, very simple. And I just literally call them the 7 best doctors. And so I'll go through them and then I'll kind of go one at a time and explain things. So they are sunlight, fresh air, quality diet, exercise, quality and good quantity of water, good quality sleep, and joy. So one thing at a time here. Where do you say you live again?
Atlanta. Amanda?
Atlanta. So you're probably getting more sun than I am in Chicago.
A little bit more. Of course, not many of us are getting a whole lot right now. But yeah, I've lived in Chicago too. And so I would say yes.
Yeah. So sunlight, depending on where you're living, may not be fully accessible this time of year. But I don't care how cold it is. I'm getting my butt outside to experience whatever sunlight's available. And that goes into the fresh air concept as well. And just in the 2nd best doctor there. Just this morning alone, I actually went on a walk. To give you perspective, it was 1 degree here. Oh my God. And it had a wind chill of, I want to say, minus 13. Ugh. And I'm not going to say it was pleasant. I had to shovel anyway, but I was out there and I had a conversation with a friend to kind of get me through it. And we do this twice a week, no matter how cold it is. She stayed in her house today. But this is just what I do, because it's so important to still, no matter how cold it is or how hot it is, to get outside and get that fresh air and get whatever sunlight we have available to us, because it's invigorating for our souls. It kind of resets us, regrounds us. I know if I'm not outside, my body feels it. So get the energy from the elements as much as you can, essentially.
Yeah, make that vitamin D too.
Exactly. As much as you can. I basically supplement at this point.
We're not going to. We all need to, but also, you know, sunlight too.
Exactly. Exactly. So then the next one is diet. Now, I'm not going to go into like a whole long story about my positions on diet and everything, but bottom line is eating quality, healthy foods is going to help fuel our minds. And so, especially when we're in this postpartum state of trying to breastfeed and trying to keep our head on straight and trying to make sense of our new world, if we're eating only takeout and only fried foods that don't nourish our bodies, it's going to be a lot harder to be the person that we want to be, essentially, because those nutrients, if we're not getting those nutrients, they're not going to feed our brains and what we need. So I believe in protein. I believe in vegetables. I believe in good whole food based kind of diets, in the sense of eating real food, eating not out of package. So, totally agree. Yeah. Next one is exercise. And so exercise in that sense, and I go into a lot more detail on each of these in the book, of course. But exercise is so important. I don't care if you do 5 minutes or 50 minutes, a couple times a week or every day. I probably recommend taking a break, usually not every day. But just moving your body in some way that's appropriate for you is always a good start. If you're more sedentary, just getting up and taking a walk a couple times a week is all you need to do. If you were a marathon runner, then you might need a little bit more to fuel what your body is used to, essentially. So everything gets specific to each person and what your body and your mind needs. And so just be sensitive to that. And just, I always tell people, really be honest with yourself on what you think you need. And if you're not sure what you need, then there's people like me that can support and guide you on like that process to get specific with what you need. But I truly believe that at our core, if we really look deep enough, we know. It's just a matter of asking ourselves that question and giving ourselves permission to give the answer. Other one is water intake. So the one after exercise I always talk about, I recommend half your body weight in ounces of water a day. So most people don't get that. Even I don't get that. That's why I have my trusty little water bottle here sitting next to me as we have this conversation. But it's so important, especially like postpartum, if you're breastfeeding, holy goodness, you need so much water. And I know I felt really tired yesterday, and I've had the realization later on, oh yeah, I only drank like 1 liter of water today when I'm used to drinking like three. That makes a big difference for me. And so I felt the fatigue, I felt the cloudiness. I just didn't feel as good in my body. And then if you are exercising, you need that water to flush out lactic acid, especially if you're producing it and you're doing weights and things like that. So all things like that are important. The one after that was sleep. Now, I know that's a really, really hard one, being postpartum. I don't know about you, Amanda. My kids didn't sleep until they were well over a year. My husband and I joke that they were not our kids because we believe in sleep. They did not.
That's so funny. Yeah. Well, I love sleep, and anybody that listens to this show regularly knows that I'm obsessed with sleep and baby sleep. So I am right there with you.
Yeah. So sleep's important. In the early days, in the early weeks and months, it's not always a reality, but I just recommend doing the best that you can with where you're at. And when you have the opportunity, I mean, everybody always says, quote, sleep when the baby sleeps. We all know that that goes out the window, because as soon as your baby sleeps, you want time to yourself. You want to clean this or do whatever. But just, I always say, like, get quality sleep when you can. At this point, it's about quality over quantity. And if you're getting the good quality, then you could skimp on the quantity for, you know, a year or whatever it takes while you're raising a child. But bottom line is just try your best in that category. And then joy. And this one tends to go out the window a lot, I think. And just in that first topic that we talked about with self-care and putting yourself first and nourishing your soul, is we need to be cared for too. And so putting things in your life that are going to make you passionate, make you joyful, friendships, other relationships, family members, doing things that you actually like to do that bring a smile to your face. I can't imagine that this has ever been more important than it is now with pandemic stuff. Like, especially new moms, my heart goes out to you guys, whoever's out there listening right now, that like, who had a baby during this pandemic. Like, when I had my kids, the play dates were abundant. You'd go there, you'd go there. And like, that was a part of our support system. And that's been robbed of many people now, unless you already had systems in place and you already had, you know, cohorts of people that you were related to and doing things with. I really, truly hope that women out there that are in this position are finding somewhere, someplace, somehow to get together with other people and still experience that joy, because it's what we need and it's what we need to get through it.
I'm glad that you brought that up. I actually just had a conversation this week. So I'm training to become a childbirth education mentor. And so I'm training with Birthing From Within, and I did a group call about the module that we're studying right now. And it's actually about postpartum. So great timing. One thing that I had mentioned that I've learned in my journey on motherhood and just in wellness and mental health that is such a helpful tool is something that I call the wellness toolkit or the wellness toolbox, where I actually took time one day to think about what are the things that restore me, that bring me joy, that I like to do, whether it be including other people, like calling a friend or going for a walk with a friend, or things that I like to do by myself. Like I play piano and guitar, and that both those things bring me joy. Now, I make a list of things that I can do for a couple reasons. One is to remind me, because when you have lack of sleep or you're not in your, you're emotionally charged and you're not, you know, in your thinking brain, it's hard to come up with that stuff. And the other reason is that I write it down, and I even have created categories for how long things take or if they include other people, is because at night I can't play piano. I'm going to wake up my kids, and I'm not about to do that because I'm obsessed with kids' sleep. But I have it written down. And if I'm like, okay, when the kids are at school and I have 10 minutes, this is something I can do. If I have an hour, oh my gosh, okay, here's my hour long list. And then it's just like plug and play. You make it easy for yourself. It's a gift for your future self. And so I would just, to piggyback off of your wonderful list that I absolutely love, I would recommend that parents take 10 minutes. This is for moms and dads, or however you identify. Take 10 minutes and just write down things that you like to do. And then maybe even write next to them, you know, things that only take 10 minutes. Maybe you love wearing like one of those facial masks, you know, and putting cucumbers on your eyes. That could just take 10 minutes. Maybe it's just taking a bath. And then there are things that, you know, you would love to indulge in, like watch a movie for 2 hours. Well, great. If one night you've had enough sleep the night before, you can indulge the next night and watch that movie. So that's just my two cents that is timely, because I just talked about this with another group of people who like to support new parents in postpartum.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. In fact, would you mind if I put that in my book and credit you for real?
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. Like, it just ties right into what I've said with joy and just like finding things that you're passionate about and things that you just flat out enjoy doing. And the list is a brilliant idea, because like you said, when your thinking brain is not on because life gets in the way, oh, what am I going to do right now? Oh, look at this list. Oh, that's right. I could totally do that right now. It would spark that interest when it would not have ordinarily been accessible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, great.
Oh, you're in the book now.
Sweet. Hey. So the next topic that I think is really important that does get talked about a lot, but I am very curious to hear your take on it, is hormones and how that impacts postpartum, how that impacts the birthing person's body, the baby. Please give us your take on hormones.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, postpartum hormones are normal, right? They're fluctuating up and down. We all experience this, okay, suddenly I'm crying for no reason at all. What the hell's going on kind of situation. At the same time, the terms normal and common get thrown out, and they seem to be interchangeable, and I don't think they should be. So the idea that it's normal to have postpartum depression, or that it's normal to have this anxiety, or it's normal to have PMS and, you know, crappy menopause when that time of life comes, those things aren't normal. They've become so common in our culture that we see them as normal. And on one hand, I embrace that, because mental health is getting such stronger traction that it's now being talked about, and people are getting more support that they need now than they ever had the opportunity to get, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So I'm thankful for that. At the same time, I don't want it to get to the point where we just see all these things as normal, because if things are balanced, if you're doing everything, if you're filling your cup, if you're following all the 7 best doctors and you're in a really good balanced state, those things don't exist. So that's kind of my take on that. And so believe me, and I'll share my story here in a minute, on the postpartum depression thing. Like, I never want to make somebody feel like they're not normal or it's not okay if they feel what they're feeling. Talk about it, get it out, and get the support and guidance that you need to get through that time. Because I've been through it, and it sucks, and I didn't even realize it when I was going through it. But yeah, it's one of those things that the hormones are there, and there are natural ways to balance it. The next thing I was going to briefly get on here is placenta encapsulation. So I had three very different experiences in my births. So is it okay if I share those stories? Very interesting. So my first, as with our firsts, we don't know anything. And I read all the books and I thought I was well educated and I treated people. So I kind of had this perspective going in like, oh, I got this. Well, I didn't. And so I had my first, and he was a very long, 44-hour long labor experience. Wow. Where I went in too early, they sent me home. Then we went back thinking, I'm like, okay, it's been like 20 hours now, I've got to be progressing. They're like, nope, sorry, you're still only at like 3, but you're welcome to stay throwing up in triage until you're at 4 centimeters and we can admit you. So I went through that whole process, finally reached 5 centimeters. And at that point, I was stuck there, even with IV, with Pitocin, with all these interventions that I didn't want, being holistic and naturally minded. I was stuck there for like 20 hours. And by hour 40 of this process, I was telling my husband, I'm like, I wanted to cut out. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And it was at that moment that I had an epidural and slept for the first time in 2 days and woke up and was like, oh, wow, finally I could push. And I was lucky to have him vaginally. That experience set me up for a whole lot of stuff. In addition to that, I never made enough milk to support him. So even though I was a firm believer in breastfeeding and doing all that, my body didn't agree, apparently. And so between my birth experience, where I interpreted as my body failed me, my body failed my son, I then went into this breastfeeding space of, okay, at least I can do this. Well, I can't do that either. And so just like one thing after another, and by the time he was around 2, I looked back at the last 2 years and went, I don't remember what the heck has happened. And it's like those first 2 years of his life were a blur. Now, of course, in the individual moments, I was happy. I held him. He still had a beautiful growing up life, at least I hope. But I look back at that and I'm like, it breaks my heart to think that I could have been clearer had I recognized the warning signs sooner, you know? And so fast forward the 2 years or 1 year after that moment, at least when I had my second son, did everything way differently. I don't think I shared this with you, starting with, he was born in the car. That's the spoiler.
Oh my goodness. Car baby.
Yeah. That was a fun experience actually. Cause what happened was, 44 hours. I'm like, okay, even if this one goes faster, I'm still looking at a day's worth of labor here. Oh no. At about the 12-ish hour mark, I rolled over. We're like, okay, we're finally starting to get ready to go to the hospital and see where things are at. And my water breaks. And I'm like, oh yeah, I need to push right now. And we're not going to make the 40-minute drive to the hospital on a Friday morning in Chicago rush hour. So we ended up making it to our midwife's office, pulled up right in front of their office in their quote delivery zone, for making a good story. And literally, I'm like, I was sitting on his head for the last couple blocks. And so then my husband jumped out. The midwives weren't downstairs yet. And my husband actually caught him. So, but think of those two stories, right? The first one, very disempowering, very like took all the life out of me. That one, I felt amazing. And like, look at what my body can do now, right? Now, I still had low supply issues and everything. And I had learned a lot over those 3 years where I had actually did have a postpartum doula who did this placenta encapsulation for me. I had energy. My milk supply was better. Still wasn't perfect, but it was better. I was clear. I was stable. It was night and day experiences. Now, a lot of that, I'm sure I can attribute to the fact that, okay, this was the second one. So I kind of had a perspective of what to expect this time. And we can never compare exactly apples to apples because it's a different experience. But when it's indicated and when it's needed, and this is also part of when I say muscle testing with what I do with patients in the office, I'll actually essentially ask their body if it's good for them, because it's not always. And for me, for my second son, holy cow, it made the biggest difference that I could have even expected. My third was a home birth, because I was like, okay, clearly the first one didn't work out. The second one didn't work out. So we're like, you know what, we'll just stay home this time. And with him, I still did the placenta encapsulation, and it didn't have as strong of an impact for me. I just wasn't in that space. It was just a different time. And so regarding the placenta stuff, I just have a perspective of like, if it's right, it's life-changing. Total game changer. If it's not right, Like if it's not right, it's likely not going to hurt you in any way. But it can be really, really powerful if you're in the right space and the right need for it. And I know, I'm sure you've heard this too, that there's different ways to do it. So there's like a traditional Chinese medicine way where they infuse herbs into it and that sort of thing. And then there's more of like a raw way. That way in Chinese medicine is much more cooling. And so for people who have more of a colder constitution, that's not appropriate because it can make things worse, as opposed to someone like myself who really, I'm a warmer type of individual. And that was the way they tested for me, I believe, at that point. And so it just, like we said, it all depends on what you specifically need. And this hormonal piece is so big. I mean, we can look at thyroid hormones, we can look at your adrenal hormones, we can look at your sex hormones after a baby. Like, it's insane and intense, and there's just a whole bunch of stuff going on at one time that I always just recommend, like, start with some basic blood work, start with some saliva testing from somebody who can help guide you through the process to like make sure that you're going to make it essentially, and that things are balanced. You know, balance looks different for everyone.
And real fast, can you explain what placenta encapsulation is in case somebody is not familiar?
Yes. So it sounds gross to some people who may not be on board with it, but basically, so the placenta had, you know, which was nourishing your baby and taking everything from you to give to your baby the entire time that you were pregnant with them. When it comes out, the hospital can provide it to you so you can take it home and you can give it to a postpartum doula who will then basically wash it, clean it, dry it, and then sterilize it. Actually, it's the sterilization that comes before drying it, of course. Once all that process is done, then they can either infuse it with herbs or just essentially dry it out, pulverize it into a powder, and put it in capsules so that you can take internally. When it's done, I know mine has told me several times that, like, you can take it again, you know, take it for 3 times a day or something for the first couple of weeks. And there's like a process that you wean down on. I'm not specific on those things. That's where those doulas come into play. But I know that mine also told me that that's a good thing to even save some of those for like your first postpartum cycle, that it could kind of ease the transition, hormonally speaking, into, oh, wow, I'm starting a period again after this process. And it just kind of hits the calm button on your body's system so that that process is just easier and less foggy.
Thank you. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's a great explanation of it. So we just talked about hormones. Let's talk about the neuro-emotional aspect of postpartum.
Yes. So this is something I love doing in my office primarily. So like we talked about initially with that mind-body medicine and that piece, you know, our cells, our body, there's actually a book called Our Body Keeps the Score. And our bodies, oh, I love it. Good. Do you remember the author? Because I'm totally
Bessel
blanking right
van der Kolk.
Now. Thank you. So great book. I read it years ago. And it's really just that concept of anything that's ever happened in our entire life, your body knows. And it's not always as easy as just going through some therapy and cognitively or consciously getting over it. That absolutely plays a role. But if we haven't energetically gotten over it in our body, it'll come back and rear its ugly head in some way, shape, or form, either manifest as a physical condition later on. I know for me, I have some thyroid stuff, and I don't even want to say that I have thyroid stuff anymore because it's so close to being gone. But I mean, I'll say that out loud because, you know, especially coming out of that hormonal topic, you know, our bodies recognize these things and these situations that have happened in our lives, and depending on the energy that it holds, it'll take up residence in a specific area of your body. And you can have all the medical tests you want. I've had all the blood work, everything. And if that underlying root cause isn't addressed, squishing it with a medication or just putting a Band-Aid approach over it is just going to allow it to go deeper into your body and manifest somewhere else. So one of the ways that I do this in the office is, you know, we use this muscle testing approach to ask your body questions, essentially figure out what organ systems are related and then what emotions are then therefore related to those organ system imbalances and go from there. So like, for instance, if we were testing something and I find a liver imbalance, for instance, liver and gallbladder, that circuit tends to hold on to emotions like anger or resentment, frustration. So it's one of those things where we then go deeper and figure out, okay, so think about this anger that you might be holding in this particular time in your life. And then we dig deeper and figure out, where was this root cause? Where was this like first initial insult essentially to your nervous system that then therefore now is awakened and triggered by your baby or your husband or whoever it might be in your life, right? And if we can break that neurological cord that's been attached there, then you then therefore end up being freer and less reactive to those things. And we can stay in a more grounded place and come from a place of love instead of a place of fear and anger that's just triggered by hitting a button. You know, and to be honest, I can't and don't do it with everyone because not everyone's in a place of being willing to accept that sort of thing. You have to be open. You have to be willing to get to the ugly stuff. And I know I wasn't there for a really long time. I always wanted to look like I had it all together and put that image out there, and I'm kind of over it now.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know. Maybe it's something about like being in your 30s or something, midlife, you know, you get reach that place. I don't know. But I hear you.
When I was in our 30s, I mean, like I'm getting close to 40 now. So, but like when I was in the earlier 30s, I was like, maybe this is my third of life crisis because I didn't want to say midlife. I'm like, I'm only in my 30s. But third of life crisis is a thing.
I think it is. Well, I have loved this conversation and I have learned so much. And I really, really like all of your topics. I mean, the seven doctors, that makes so much sense. And I'm really excited for when you complete your book. And whenever you do, I am going to update the show notes on this episode so that people who listen to this, you know, in a year or 2 years when the book is out, they can be like, oh, okay, there we go. I'm going to actually go ahead and buy her book. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you too. I mean, this was a blast. And for anyone who's listening, like I don't actually have a title yet. I have a couple things kind of semi-narrowed down. But, you know, if you have any ideas based on the content that you've heard, you know, like the entire purpose of the book is really just coming from the place to support you where you're at and then provide some like holistic natural tricks that you can then also use as your baby's growing older and you want to figure out, you know, basic things on like how to feed them, you know, like the baby led weaning process or some immune challenges, you know, just like little nuggets like that we don't always get except from Dr. Google. So I want to provide that kind of support. So that's what I'm looking at. And so if you have thoughts, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And just, I'm sure you'll have links to follow me and sort of thing. So I'd love to have answer questions. And if you've got any questions before I'm done with it, just throw them in. And then maybe you'll make the book too, like Amanda's going to.
Love it. Well, if anybody does want to get in touch with you or give you thoughts, how can someone best get in touch with you? And I'll include those links in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, email is probably one of the best ways. And so you can have that. So it's just ChristyMatusiak@gmail.com. And then I have a YouTube channel called Dr. Christy Cares. It's just a channel I put about one video per week out there. And it's just a simple little, like, I always keep them short because the reason I created the channel in the first place was just to provide health conscious, holistic content in a quick snippet that everybody can listen to. Because I know myself, if I go on YouTube, I don't have time to listen to a video that's more than 10 minutes long. I just don't. So if I see that it's like, 12 minutes, it's like, if I'm driving somewhere, maybe I can commit to that time, but 5 minutes is all I got time for. So my videos are usually less than 5 minutes. So on any health content topic, pretty much you can scroll through all that. I've done that for about the last year now. And then I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. So you can just search for Christy Matusiak DC or Holistic Christy Matusiak DC, all those kinds of platforms.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much again for your time today.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and want to hear more, please subscribe to Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Also, I would love it if you would take 1 minute and give me 5 stars and leave a review about the show to encourage other parents to start listening. Finally, I would love to hear from you. If you have feedback, questions, or ideas for episodes, please connect with me directly on Instagram. Follow me and DM me at findingyourvillage. You can also always send me an email at amanda@findingyourvillagepod.com. Lastly, I just launched a monthly newsletter for Finding Your Village, and you can find that in the show notes of this episode, or if you go directly to findingyourvillage.substack.com. Thank you so much, and stay safe, healthy, and connected.